Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the best podcast that you have listened to this year, especially if we're the only podcast you've listened to this year. When we are recording this, it is officially January 1st when you're listening to it. It's a little bit later in the year, but we are here to usher you into a new year with fresh conversation about womanhood and motherhood in a way that is decidedly non-expert. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're so glad that you joined us here today.
Yeah, we have kind of taken a little break in recording, so it feels like we've done our Christmas and New Year's episode. We've talked about resolutions. Do you have anything else to say on resolutions, or are we done with New Year's?
I think we're kind of done with New Year's. I mean, like I said, when we're recording this, it's January 1st, and I'm kind of already done with New Year's. I think,
over it.
Yeah, you sent me today in your Instagram newsfeed a sponsored post about this company that has monetized the Your Word of the Year situation.
Right, yeah.
And I don't think that we talk about Your Word of the Year.
I think you said that you sometimes have chosen a word because you talked about using the word heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, then let me also then double back on myself and disagree, because I think, and maybe I'm just seeing it this year, and since we've recorded, it's been in, you know, on my mind. Mm-hmm. That words are great. I do think that I lean more towards that than specific resolutions. But
right.
We have gotten so contrived in life with wanting to pick the best word. And maybe I talked about that before. I tend to, when I listen back to our episodes, be like, oh, man, I really hope I said, and then I'll say it. But I feel like I've seen people like really stretching for words, which, I mean, heartbeat kind of was too, but that was really pertinent to us. But it's like, okay, trust is okay to say, or faith or whatever, but people like come up with these oddball words, and I think it's just so they can say that's their word.
Right.
Maybe I'm being a little bit judgmental, but I'm into the word, but I'm also not into it for the sake of being into it, if that
makes
sense.
Just having a word.
Yeah.
That's gonna make my legit New Year's resolution seem so hilarious. But do you know what
I
I've decided?
Wait.
My New Year's resolution is to wear more makeup.
Oh, yes. So your word of the year is cosmetology.
My word of the year is different face.
That's two words.
is that not allowed? No, I'm just, so I know I talked about this last year. I really got into like my skincare routine, and I have always loved like makeup tutorials and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just think it's cool. Like, I think it's cool if you want to wear no makeup. I think it's cool if you want to wear a ton of makeup and completely change your face. I think everyone should do whatever. And I have found, and I guess I always thought like, oh, but it takes so much longer. So I timed myself and got just like a simple 10-minute, like what I think is like a natural look. And I've been really enjoying it.
It looks great.
Yeah. I've been,
you're like, yeah, I know. That's what I've been,
I've been complimented many times.
It looks really fantastic. I think I have mentioned it the other day.
That you did. And not only you, a couple people did. And I thought, okay, did I look awful this whole time?
Oh, yeah. No. That is really bad. But
no,
I think
I'm just kidding.
I've told you this before. It's like when you only see people at the gym and then you're like in just decent clothes, like not even your best, and you see them at the grocery store and it's like, you look amazing. And it's because you've seen them at their very worst.
Well, that was today because you came back from the gym and you looked really well put together. And I was wearing an oversized t-shirt with holes.
A fashion t-shirt.
My leggings that have snowmen and snowflakes, like the worst, like the least cute messy bun of life, and it just was such a contrast.
Though, in your defense, you actually rang in the new year surrounded by friends at a party.
I did.
I rang in the new year with Michael Scott and a book. So, really, I think we reflected how we had kicked off the new year.
That's a good point. I had a great New Year's Eve, and Milan stayed up. That was cool.
That is unreal. My girls were all asleep by 6:30.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we had a little bit of a rough day today. Maybe we'll talk about that in the It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time segment.
Oh, yeah.
But it was still fun. Like, it's fun as they get older to do like stuff like that with them and not just continuously have to worry about babysitting. Plus, in the commune, we all just do stuff together and then we can walk home, find babysitting and that kind of thing. So,
yeah, no, that's a good point. Well, I kind of made an effort today. Well, I have been over the last couple of weeks, I think, similar to your makeup. So my issue with makeup is I'm not great at it. I have a single look. I'm like Zoolander. I have one look.
Zoolander.
And that, depending on the day, I will tell you that it is my casual grocery store look, or I will say that it's my fancy event makeup, but it's the exact same makeup. I do nothing differently. Sometimes I add more eyeshadow, but I am making more of an effort to put some thought into my clothes because I just feel better all the way around
when I
put myself together. So I'm same makeup look, but I am being a little bit more thoughtful with my outfits.
Yeah, that feel better thing is exactly what like resolutions are about, like important to for me, like really bettering like how I feel about myself overall. Like skincare was really important to me last year. This year, this is what's important to me. It doesn't like it, to me, it's not as I don't take resolutions super, super deeply.
Right.
You know, like I think you were saying they tend to fail when you put like everything in one basket. And
yeah, I think that when you're waiting, you know, it's kind of like that adage of, oh, well, I'm going to start on Monday.
Yes.
Well, then you're putting so much weight on that Monday that if you mess up on Monday, then that's kind of the whole thing is gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I really like a time of refreshment. Mine tends to happen like kind of mid-year or maybe not even mid-year. Like I feel like back to school is always a good time, even though I don't even have kids in elementary school. But preschool, I feel like that start kind of feels more like that even. Because when you're the parent of small children, basically until they're back in school or back on a routine, the holidays is just a really hard time to try to start something new. Like one of the reasons that I did not have my kids stay at the New Year's Eve party last night was after Christmas, we had a hard time. One of my children in particular had a hard time where it was just like being out of routine altogether because my office was closed. Mm-hmm. So our nanny wasn't coming. Her preschool was closed. It was we were all spending more time together, which was really, really great. But it was reflective in she just started testing all these boundaries that she does not normally.
Right.
So maybe it's just that she just turned four. I also think it was part of things are different in the last 2 weeks. So let me try to experiment with that. And yesterday we were just kind of starting to get back on routine. And I was like, I cannot risk that. Falling
That's a
apart
good point.
Again.
Yeah.
It was a good decision. Today was the best day that we've had in a few. And I felt like we were really kind of on track.
That's good because I agree with you. The beginning of the school year definitely feels like the start of something new for me, whereas New Year's feels like refreshing. But maybe that refreshing is kind of like after Thanksgiving, it feels like a train wreck.
Yeah.
Like things just come crashing in because there's so much to do. And we've had just kind of an interesting holiday season as well. Anyway, we have like a really big family. And so now it's just like, oh, now we can like actually get back on a schedule. So
yeah,
it's refreshing in that way.
Well, I was chatting with some friends this week and we all kind of agreed that the holidays bring as much stress as they do joy.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult. So for me in my life stage, that means as a mom. I mean, seeing Christmas through the girls' eyes this year was just incredible.
Yeah, it gets better and better.
Yeah, but it also meant more tax on my mental load that we've talked about in a prior episode. And so to me, January 1st was kind of like the closing of a door of the holiday.
Yes.
And now let's regroup more so than it felt like, oh, this is something completely blank slate. It was like, if I were choosing a word this year, it would be like refreshment. Because
That's
I feel like we've just been in the season of like mayhem.
Uh-huh.
And so this just felt like, okay, we're closing the door for some of that chaos. And then mm-hmm. let's just kind of insulate a little bit and get back to our equilibrium.
Yeah, I talked about several weeks ago how I tend to get like a post-holidays blues.
Yes.
But I just don't have that at all this year. Like I'm really just looking forward to this. I've been really kind of waiting for this.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
So, well, I mean, it will take us a little bit of time because we've all been sleeping in more, like our schedule is off. So that tomorrow should be interesting.
Well, I will say that as lovely as this all sounds and is great, I am still planning to completely dominate you on our pull-up challenge.
Oh,
so.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm Pasan going to look
just
fantastic.
Installed a pull-up bar in the garage.
Okay, well, that's cheating because we didn't talk about that.
so we can get our videos there, put them up for people to vote.
Yeah, but I still feel like we need to make some parameters on your practice time because that feels a little bit unfair. But I'm going to be wearing a really cute outfit when I do it so that I feel empowered to do a great one.
Yeah, Nora Beth is my workout outfit goals.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't think I've posted them on our podcast Instagram. But maybe this would be my good idea later today. Milan and Nora Beth are on the same basketball team. Have we talked about this yet?
I think
we brought it up. Records. Okay, I realized the first day of practice, which basically Norbeth, when she listens to this in years and years to come, I hope that she knows how seriously I'm also taking this with her. But essentially, we signed her up and paid money for a comedy show because she's the only girl on the team. She's the youngest by far. And really, my kids do go to bed super early. And so practice is like right at her bedtime. And but she takes it really seriously. But I realized the first day of her practice, she doesn't have anything that she can wear to practice. Not just like, oh, I don't have anything to wear. But like legitimately, she did not own sneakers. She owned like Mary Jane flats, you know, like or her Peppa Pig rain boots that she wears everywhere or jellies that I got it from Aldi. So,
Aldi jellies.
I did have to run to Walmart and completely kit her out. And my mom has supplemented hers. And dang, she looks so cute in those little workout outfits. She's
freaking adorable. It's the cutest thing ever. I love
it. Yeah, it doesn't keep up with her skills, but she looks really great.
Yeah. You know what? Part of it is just dressing the part. What do they say? Dress for the job you want to have.
Yeah, exactly. So she's dressing like LeBron.
Exactly.
Watch out, bud.
Yeah. What are you loving this week? We've been talking about the holidays so much. We haven't done this segment kind of in a little while.
Oh, yeah. All right. So this is like the dorkiest one, but I did make myself not bring up anything related to the library or a book that I'm reading. If you've been on our Instagram, you will have seen that we've talked about books recently. And like, I really wanted to start the new year not talking about books, but I have read some good ones if you want to know.
Okay. Yes.
Years ago, David insisted that we get a waffle iron. And I was like, we do not need another appliance. We are never going to use this waffle iron. And he used it like sporadically here and there and whatever. That's fine. Now, hands down, over the last 2 or 3 months, that dang waffle iron has become like my appendage.
I was going to say, I have seen frozen waffles in your freezer many times.
Yeah, no longer. No longer.
We
are into these. It's a Sprouted Kitchen. I will link to the recipe. They're these multigrain waffles. And I cannot stop making them. I probably make a double batch every other week.
Oh, I meant frozen from the thing that you made.
Oh, yes. Yes. Those you've seen. I thought you meant like Eggo. And I was
No, I've never seen.
Please don't insult me that way. I mean, I do. When I'm pregnant, I do.
Don't talk about it in front of everyone.
I do. Yeah, stop embarrassing me, Hannah. when I was pregnant, I did get a craving for Eggos. But, okay, there are these multigrain waffles. And I don't even know why I felt like making them, because there's nothing about them that seems like they would have appealed to me in the moment. But now they are hands down my obsession. And that goes along with I've been using my FitnessPal to help track. Love my FitnessPal. I used it years ago, barely, but now I'm actually really like dedicated to it.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, if you make these waffles, they will make four, you know, like a waffle.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them is 360 calories, which is a really good solid breakfast.
That is really good. So do they make the thin ones are Belgian waffles?
They're not Belgian, though. I'm sure if you had a Belgian waffle maker, it would make them. But they're real healthy. They have flax meal, almond meal, white or whole wheat flour, and then oat flour. But it's all stuff that's really easy. Like, I didn't have almond meal, but I did have almonds, so I just made almond meal. And you just quickly blend some oats into oat flour. I know that is, like, not riveting content to start the new year, but these waffles are my ride or die right now.
I don't know. I feel like whenever someone comes up with a cool, like, easy thing like this that people can easily make in advance and have for their breakfast, their kids' breakfast, a snack or whatever, that is hot content because I'm immediately like, I got to get these.
Yeah, however, I'll walk some over after we record.
Open the door and frisbee them over.
I have the thought that Maya will just choose not to like them.
Sure.
But,
yep.
Even Jane Ellis at 6 months old eats one every morning and she goes to town on them.
Yes. But as we will discuss, she's a third child. So
that's true.
Looking for your approval in accepting the things that you offer feels very on brand. Whereas,
well, I will say that show of faith in me or support of me does win my approval every time.
Yeah.
So Jane Ellis, keep it up.
Yeah. You've given me a lot of good suggestions on stuff for them. And our neighbor Suzanne has as well on a couple of like healthy snacks. And I always go through all the trouble of making it and then they just suddenly like don't like that thing.
Of course.
And I'm like, oh, whatever, just take an applesauce pouch.
Yeah, I get it. Well, what are you loving besides your soon to be new obsession with these multigrain waffles?
Yes, I do love waffles. So that is very exciting. This morning, Well, yesterday and last night, the New Horizons spacecraft from NASA. Familiar with this?
I do. Know about it.
That, in case people don't remember, sent us the photos of Pluto a couple years ago, has encountered something else in the Kuiper Belt. I'm going to put a link because this is really good. You should. It's a nice long article. But there's like a tiny thing, not tiny dot, I think it's like 20 miles across, and it's photographed it. Like, it was like a New Year's Eve, like, celebration that it was, like, passing. Because it's going at 32,000 miles an hour, which is insane to think about.
Yeah. Unfathomable.
Exactly. And there's, like, I think I want to say a six-hour lag between when people here on planet Earth can communicate with the spacecraft and have it do something. So they had to plan all these things that would happen like that, like right away, but like hours in advance. So they sent out, like, somewhere on Earth, they had a sound wave. It's, please fact check me on this, but they sent something that would interact with the object exactly as the spacecraft was passing by, so that at that time they could, like, measure the reactions, which is nuts. Okay,
that is like way more complicated than the mail. I can't quite figure that out.
I know. And they had to have all these probes ready because they were trying to guess, like, trying to figure out, like, the dust particle makeup and all of that, and, like, get all these photos, because since it's so far out, it's, like, been completely frozen. So whatever it is made of is the ingredients of the beginning of the universe, because it's not been heated by the sun or changed by geology as, like, a planet with water and soil and that kind of thing. So they hope they can get a lot of good information. But I'm just like, I love this kind of thing. Like, it fascinates me so much. So I'm going to be watching closely to see what they get out of this.
Yeah. And please definitely let me know. I do really love space. But ever since watching Contact with Jodie Foster.
I've not seen that. No.
Okay, it's old, from like the mid 90s. We'll watch it at our next movie night, unless you have some issue with it. My next movie night,
scary?
I mean.
Scary? Are there jump scenes? Because I can't handle.
Okay, so I can't do scary movies either. Like, The Mummy basically undid me.
Really? The Mummy.
No. I was in seventh grade. I went with some eighth graders.
I saw it as like an adult, so.
Okay, well, had you seen it in seventh grade with me?
Yeah.
I, like, within 10 minutes, went and sat by myself in the handicap stall of the Arboretum movie theater. And I stayed there the whole time. I never went back into the theater. And, like, every few minutes, I would come out of the stall and wash my hands and go back into another stall, you know, in case people, like, thought I was weird staying in there. Anyway, but Contact is real creepy, but not like if I saw it as an adult, probably wouldn't be. But it's made me real leery of space. So
no, thank you, SpaceX. I'm not dying to get on your shuttle, but
not into it, Richard Branson.
Ask someone else.
Yeah, but I do love Mars Attacks. So if you have seen that movie.
That's the one with, I'm thinking of Independence Day.
Yeah, no, absolutely not Independence Day. This is like the worst alien movie that's ever been made. And
they have the glass globes.
Yep, and they make like this really, they're like that.
Yeah.
I can't believe just made that. No, that one is really great because it's like old timey music that defeats them. And I'm like, okay, that I can handle.
Oh, sold. Yeah. I did just watch Annihilation. Pasan and my brother Zach got me to watch that, and it was really good. It was really good sci-fi.
Okay.
Not too scary.
All right. I'll take your word on it.
A blanket. I either hold up a blanket or I put my camera app on and then watch it through my phone.
That's hilarious. But also now I know where to check if Norbeth loses her lovey or Annabelle loses her bunny next time. 100%. It's probably Hannah's movie night.
Exactly. But anyway, so this is just really cool. The thing is called Ultima Thule or Tool. It's T-H-U-L-E. And it means like the farthest thing in our known world.
In
Latin, I assume. I don't know. But it might not be Latin. That was a complete guess. But anyway, it's just really cool. And for those people, that must have been a really cool New Year's Eve party, because they literally had a New Year's Eve party to celebrate like receiving the data. And it was like right at that time that it was like crossing this. It's not a planet. It's so tiny.
Pluto surely knows about that planet, not a planet status.
It probably will in a couple years be having a conversation about it when they pass each other.
Well, I can't wait to dive in and learn more about that. That's really fascinating.
I'll link it in the show notes.
All right. Well, I'll also link to Mars Attacks if you all want to come watch it with me next time I turn that one on.
Sounds good.
Cool. Well, today we're not talking about aliens, though it may be a out of this world concept to you.
Ooh, nice.
That was good. A rough segue.
Crushed it.
We are talking about birth order. We're both fascinated by it, and we want to dive in and talk a little bit about how it shaped our family, how it shaped us, and how it might be shaping you. After the break, we'll be right back with birth order. Okay, we are back to talk birth order. You know, I think it's really easy for any of us to say, like, oh, well, of course, my brother had that happen. He is the youngest, so he got to do that. But we put out on Instagram earlier today that we were recording tonight and got a few interesting comments. Our nanny has 6 kids, so they're a family of 8. And she said in her comment back to us that they are fascinated in how birth order has affected basically how their dynamics are as a family. So with their family of 6, the birth order kind of started over after their 3rd child. So they kind of got to see 2 different phases of birth order. They had their first 3 all boys. Then they had a girl, a boy, and a girl. And after those first 3, it was kind of like Maylee, who came along, kind of restarted the birth order, even though she was the 4th in their line, which is really interesting. And then one of my friends, Avery, commented that she used to be a teacher and she could pick out in the classroom where her students were in birth order without knowing anything else about their family, which that really fascinated me, that she could just see or watch a student interact and be like, oh, that is such a middle child thing.
Right.
And then would meet their family and be like, oh, you actually are the middle. Then she went on to say that her youngest, who is her 2nd, is a middle child. They just don't have a 3rd baby yet, which I thought was really, really interesting.
Yeah, that's what my friend Amanda says about Maya as well, is that she's a middle child and she's like, just have a 3rd already. She just needs to be a middle child.
I could totally see that. And as a middle child, I agree. And I really appreciate Maya.
relate on a very cellular level.
So tell us about your family structure and your siblings.
So I'm the oldest and I have 2 younger brothers, and my middle brother is exactly the same distance apart as Milan and Maya. Literally, Milan and I have the same birthday, and Maya's birthday is in September. My middle brother's birthday is in October. So it's like
that's 2 years, 3 months, 2 years, 2 months or 4 months.
Something. It's very, very similar.
Yeah.
So that was super interesting to me to kind of guess what their dynamic would be, because my brother and I are very close. We lived together in college for a year and we're very good friends.
It's interesting. It's just the genders are swapped.
Yes, exactly.
Same dynamic, but different gender.
Yeah. And Milan is the most like me, so that makes me, him being the oldest and being like me in my side of the family quite a bit makes me relate to him a lot. And then our youngest brother is 8 years younger than me. So there was quite an age gap, but now we're all adults, so we're all friends and we hang out and stuff like that. But it was very interesting to see he had, less of a, as he was growing up, he was just, I remember my mom would always talk about him just being so independent and playing on his own. And he also was around way older people, more so than because he was always used to our friends being over. So there's just so much interesting stuff that goes into being the youngest, I feel like. And especially when it's the youngest by a gap.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things when you really dive into birth order, you learn there's so much more than just the literal order of your birth.
Right.
There comes into play the sex that you are, the age difference. So I was asking my mom earlier today about birth order. She and I have talked about it before, but whether she feels like the 3 of us. So I'm the middle of 3. My brother and I are 17 months apart, which is what Anna Blair and Jane Ellis are. And then my sister and I are 3.5 years apart, which are what Nora Beth and Jane Ellis are. And I was asking her if we kind of subscribe to those roles. And she was saying, yes, kind of. For the most part, I also am, so I'm the middle child, but I'm the oldest girl.
Right.
So then I take on characteristics of the oldest in that way.
You feel more like a caretaker, don't you?
Right. Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
But David's family, so he has 2 half sisters. They're 10 and 11 years older than him, or 11 and 12 years older than him. So he is biologically an only child, but he was raised with his sisters, but that huge age difference makes him the youngest, but yeah. also the only.
That's unique.
Has definitely shaped his personality and how he parents, the way being a middle has shaped how I parent. And my mom is also a middle of three. So she and I are similar. And we both are always like very sensitive to Anna Blair being the middle.
Oh, funny. Another aspect that I think is really interesting is not only being first, middle, third, fourth, whatever, mm-hmm. but also like what your parents are. Because
yes.
My mom and my dad are both the youngest.
Okay.
And
so they like Zach best.
Yeah, definitely. That's clear. Mom. But I see. And so like my mom's older sister, my aunt, who I was saying a couple weeks ago, she and I have very similar.
Oh, yeah.
Of the.
Mm-hmm. The Enneagram.
Yeah. The Enneagram, we're like the same. And there's a lot of ways in which I relate to her. Mm-hmm. As like the oldest, like there's a lot of ways that she would react. She reacts to things that I relate to.
Right.
And like planning family vacations, for instance, I'm always like, let me call Aunt Mitzi. I'll handle it. But then also like being the child of a more like type A person, like I am also my cousin who's like almost my exact same age. We're like 2.5 to 3 weeks apart is different than me. Like I don't see her like me as much in some ways.
Mm hmm.
And I'm wondering if maybe she would feel like she relates to my mom a little more.
Oh, that
like,
is interesting.
My mom is like not type A.
Yeah.
So they're like that kind of just different relation of how like your parents are also shapes your experience as like first, second, third, fourth, fifth,
sixth. Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, my mom and I talk about middle child a lot. And when I found out that I was pregnant when Anna Blair was so young, I knew that she would be the middle, obviously. Well, we knew we wanted three. So by virtue of her being the second, I knew she would eventually be a middle child. But I immediately started to feel guilty that she would be a middle child so soon as the youngest mm-hmm. and, you know, all of these things. So Allison, when she was commenting on our Instagram, referred to a book that they really like that in my, I call it my research, but because I just want to be real transparent in this space. That means like the first 5 links that I Googled and clicked on. They all apparently also really like this book. It's called The Birth Order Book, Why You Are the Way You Are by Dr. Kevin Lehman, I believe is how you say his last name.
Okay.
We'll link to it. But he apparently is like the guru of birth order. So if you're really interested in it and for some reason this very scientific conversation that we're having doesn't quite scratch the itch for you, I can't imagine
anyone would need to dig further after this.
No, I feel like we always do the best that we can to deliver hard-hitting data.
Exactly.
But I do want to kind of outline, and I'll ask you if you relate to these, how he categorizes these birth order qualities. So firstborns are the leader of the pack. They're reliable, conscientious, structured, cautious, controlling achievers.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ring true for you or for Milan or both since y'all are similar?
Yes. Less, I wouldn't like call myself an achiever in mm-hmm. that I was not like a straight A student who like I was like competitive when my friends and I decided to compete for like a good grade.
Okay.
But I mean like I don't know if I would necessarily check that off. I achieve what I feel like is important for me to achieve.
Oh yeah, that's a good way to put it. Well, it says firstborns bask in their parents' presence, which may explain why they sometimes act like mini adults. Which I do think is true for Norbeth. Like she told me today in the car, before you know it, I'm going to be in high school. And I was like,
wow. Okay. First of all, settle down.
Okay. You just turned 4 like last week. So chill out.
Yeah. She's been reading all these posts from well-meaning women who are like, don't blink.
Right. Right.
You'll miss it.
Yeah. So she's acting like my mom telling me not to blink.
Yeah.
And then it says they excel at winning the hearts of their elders, which is 100% fitting for Norbeth.
Yeah, I relate to that for sure. We just played this game. It's not heads up.
Headbands?
Some game. Not headbands. No, it's a game that Ellen put out.
Yeah, heads up.
Well, she did heads up and then she did like now it's like a different one.
Again, the hard hitting data.
Yeah. I'll link it because it's fun, but it's like one of these that like you all play and you fill out and it's like, if you think Hannah had blah, 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 what would she do in that situation? And everyone fills out
funny.
A thing. And then you vote on like what you think is the best answer. And then whoever's answer gets the best votes wins. So it was one that it was like, if Hannah's car broke down, who would she call? And every single person in the room, which was like eight other people, put dad, dad, her dad, her dad, her dad, her dad.
Yeah, sure. I'd call you dad.
I know. And someone put like her dad, but just to, my brother Zach, he put her dad, but just to tell him about it.
Oh, that's hilarious. Like,
oh. And I'm like, yeah, that's accurate. All of those are accurate.
That is really, really funny. I did put when I got married, I hope David finds this as funny as I do, for basically like at least 2 years into our marriage, my mom was my first person on my like speed dial. It was not David, yeah. It was my mom. And then I got a new phone and I like started to put my mom as the first contact. And then I was like, I really feel like as a married person, I should probably have my husband as my first one. So now, just for that reason, David is mine. But even though I'm not the oldest, I do want to excel at winning the hearts of my elders, particularly my mom. So hi, mom. Okay, so middle children are people pleasers, somewhat rebellious, thrive on friendships, have large social circles, and are the peacemaker. Now, Anna Blair is only two, mm-hmm. but I definitely see her as somewhat rebellious. She is in like a real sneaky way that Nora Beth never was. Like, she'll just look at you and want you to make sure that you see her doing something that she knows she's not supposed to do, which is really like age appropriate more than anything. But
Milan never did that, though.
Really?
Interesting. Like, Maya and Anna Blair do that more than like Milan. And I don't know if Nora Beth did that at two.
Not really. But she also, you know, I realized didn't have anyone to mirror. So Anna Blair does things now at two that Nora Beth is doing at four because she's seen her do it.
Right. And also first children never had to fight for attention. Like, I figured out that for the second children, especially, any attention is a net positive, even if it's negative attention. Mm-hmm. So if I was trying to like get onto Maya for doing something, that's still she still got my attention.
Right.
So like I just started completely giving her zero attention if she's doing something wrong.
Good.
Because
that'll help her out.
You don't get anything from me, and that's it. Because I know she wants the attention. Like, I know that that's what she's doing it for, to see what I'll do, to see if I'll say something. And I'm like, I'll do nothing. You'll get nothing.
I definitely see Anna Blair as the peacemaker in a funny way. So as much as she antagonizes, like, she likes to get in Nora Beth's face right now and just look at her and go, nah, 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 nah. Which I don't know where she learned that. I laughed at it for too long, and now I'm trying to teach her that that's not nice.
That feels genetic. That could be genetic.
Or she'll like come up to me and look at Nora Beth and just go, my mommy, which then Nora Beth will say, Anna Blair said I don't have a mommy, which is not true. But as much as she antagonizes her, she is also the first that if Nora Beth wants something that she has and is crying that she doesn't have it, Anna Blair immediately gives it up. Like, it does not matter how much she likes it. Like, she'll give it to Nora Beth and just immediately say, thank you, Nora Beth, in her little two-year-old voice. But she, way more than Nora Beth is ever willing to relent, Anna Blair will immediately if she sees Nora Beth get upset about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if that relates to Pisana's middle child. And it's the same thing. His older sister, he's got an older sister, and then my brother. I'm trying to think if that relates to them. Like, what was it? Like, peacemaker?
Peacemaker, people pleaser, somewhat rebellious, thrives on friendships, and has a large social circle.
Yeah, definitely my brother was more rebellious than me, for sure.
I actually, in this list, I relate more to the firstborn, which could be because I'm the middle but the first girl. But I do relate to the people pleasing, mm-hmm. the large social circle, which I would add the asterisk for me that it's not like I have a ton of super close friends. But I do have a pretty large net of like friends, I'm putting kind of in quotes, like acquaintances that I would just say like are all my friends.
Yeah, I think my brother and Pisan are like that too. Like, they don't, I don't think, thrive off of that social mm-hmm. time like I do. Like, they don't like feel charged by it, but they still have like, if they were to have a party, a lot of people are there.
Yeah, yeah, I can relate to that. And then a peacemaker, and that I always wanted to make sure my parents were happy. So not even mm-hmm. like trying to mediate between, because we didn't really have conflict among the siblings, but I wanted to make sure if my siblings is something that my parents were upset about, that I would want be the favorite, but would also kind of keep whatever peace.
Yeah, it's hard to, I wish I could have this conversation. I wish we could have like 20 people at the table.
Yeah, same. Okay, so they refer to the youngest as the last born. Just, it's easy because we're both from three, but you know, if you're like Allison's family who have six,
right,
whatever, it's not really the youngest, but last born tends to be fun loving, uncomplicated, manipulative, outgoing, an attention seeker, and self-centered.
Manipulative, outgoing,
fun loving, uncomplicated, attention seeker and self-centered.
A lot of those describe, yeah, like my brother and my sister-in-law, Pasan's younger sister, I can like match up to some of those things for sure, especially like the uncomplicated, like both of them in group texts kill mm-hmm. me. Because, like, they want to know, like, where we're going to see the movie and what time. But then, like, I'm always like, and what does everyone want? Like, should we go get pizza beforehand? Does 6:45 work or 7 o'clock work? Like, and that's what really does funny. Everyone think? And they're just like, this is driving me crazy. Stop talking. Just tell me where to be and when.
The other thing that it points out is that the two children that tend to be the most opposite are the first and second. So they kind of, yeah, the oldest and middle play off of each other a lot, which I do think my brother and I are a lot different. And in that, my younger sister is very much more in the middle. She's kind of Switzerland, where Ben and I are very far apart in our lifestyle or whatever it is. My sister is like right middle of the road between the two of us.
Yeah, that I think I could see that for our family as well. That makes sense. And I will say, too, Pasan's older sister, I relate to her real hard. Like, we're very similar in how like we react to things. She and I both have this innate need to like connect family. And, you know, it's mom's birthday. Did you guys call mom? Like, what are we all? We all need to make sure we're meeting up enough and stuff like that. But I do think there are some cultural differences, too. So that would be that's like, I don't know, a whole other level we would have to dig into. But
yeah, no, that's really fascinating to think about. The other thing that this article points out is, according to Lehman, if you have a gap of 5 years or more in between birth, another family begins in the birth order structure. So like,
it's kind
so
of like
that,
where we fall in. Yeah.
Yeah, like, so Zach is kind of like the oldest or the only child and the youngest. So he
that
would blend all of those traits.
Yeah, that makes sense. Huh, interesting. Yeah, I think I would have thought of that.
So in that sense, does that change? Do you feel like your birth order and Maya's birth order change the way that you parent Milan and Maya, or how you react to them?
Yes, because I relate to Milan. Like, Milan a lot of times will start a fight with Maya accident. Like, he's not trying to start a fight. He's just trying to do what he knows I want done.
Okay.
So like, if she's like putting stickers on furniture, he's like, mom doesn't want us to do that. And like, to a point where like, then Maya just flat out starts screaming and losing it and like very Maya about it. And Milan's like, no, mom said no. So then it just escalates because he's just trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But I get his perspective so much. I've literally already had this talk with him so many times where I'm like, I know what it's like. They look up to us. We need to be the good example.
That's hilarious.
And Pasan like immediately called my brothers and was like, just so you know, Hannah's saying this about you guys.
Milan really is like the little adult when he comes in our house and wants to make sure that I know.
Yeah, he does like to parent your kid. Both of my kids like to parent your kids.
That's
weird.
Actually, they both do. Maybe that's a reflection more on my parenting.
Probably a lot we could break down on both sides about that one.
Yeah, well, Milan will come over and earlier this week he was telling Norbeth she was doing something to him. He was like, Norbeth, when I say stop, that means we stop immediately. Like, just parenting. And then came in to tell me, I told Norbeth that when someone needs to stop, they need to do it immediately. And I was like, okay.
If you wanted to go ahead and step in and start teaching your kids about consent, that would be
great. That would be great. Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, we already had to have that conversation when both Norbeth and Annabelle were trying to give him a hug. Meanwhile, Maya was making sure that Jane Ellis had a passy because some inept mom didn't have one for her. So
Maya's very concerned about the babies. She's all about the babies. Milan doesn't care about babies, but Maya is very much like, are the babies okay? Do the babies have a passy? And if not, I need to find one for them and then find an extra one for myself.
Well, Norbeth was saying to Milan, isn't my baby sister a cutie cakes? And he said, that's not a nice thing to call someone. That was his reaction.
This weird thing about names. Now. Didn't he say he doesn't like to be called buddy to Norbeth?
Yes. Yeah. Norbeth, again, in her like wanting to define everyone as her best friend and have everyone love her, said to him, you are my best friend, buddy. And he said, no, I don't like being called buddy. And I was like, okay, so, all right.
Does it matter?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. We have, like, I try and lay a lot of groundwork early with stuff like consent and being comfortable in your own skin, but it is funny to hear it turn around and, like, be used against all these other kids.
It is hilarious.
Well, my mom said when she called me to say, I think she had seen your Instagram post, and she was like, oh, that'll be interesting to hear about. And I was like, yeah, I'm the oldest and Caroline is the middle. And she's like, what about the youngest? You have to have youngest representation. And to me, that was such a youngest child thing to say. Like,
yes,
we're here.
What about me? Meanwhile, the oldest and middle are like, we know you've gotten everything.
Yeah. My mom is the youngest of two, and Maya's the youngest of two. So it's just interesting. We've got around here, we've got a couple twos, two, three sets of three, one.
Yep.
Only child.
Yeah, I think I was doing that same calculation. So we're one of two families with three children. Mm-hmm. There are three families with two children and one family with one child. And it is interesting to watch them all play because you do start to see those dynamics. The ones that are used to kind of falling mm-hmm. in line. Though I will say it's not a super accurate portrayal because both of the third children are under a year old. So
yeah, that's true. They're still really little. But it's just so funny, though, because like you make eye contact with a third child and they just like light up.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
hands
they're
down.
They're like, oh, thank God someone's looking at me.
Yeah.
But it's like Milan, I would never have classified him as like a happy baby.
Oh,
like,
really?
It just took a lot. Yeah, it took a lot to get a smile out of him. But Maya was very, like, I would easily call her a happy baby. And not happy in like that he was like croupy or fussy. Or not croupy. What's the word? I'm like,
grippy.
No, the one where they won't stop crying when they're newborns.
Colicky.
Thank you. No, not like that. Just in that, like, he was just, like,
a
more serious
baby. I could totally
Maya
see that.
Maya was very happy, so.
Yeah, I didn't know Milan as a baby, but he just does, he is goofy and silly, but does tend to, like, be more serious.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, anytime there's, like, a celebration in a group, he just has, like, a comically angry look on his face. So.
Yeah, a little RBF for Milan.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in the basketball game, their first basketball game where Norbeth was just so happy to be included.
Oh, my gosh,
Milan
yes.
was just, like, refused to even, like, he was, like, at the center court line, refused to move.
Oh, my gosh.
Angry the whole time. So there's just a lot of different dynamics at play. It's interesting to see, like, the different things they check off on the list.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just like Enneagram and Myers-Briggs are just an asset to know that about yourself. I think studying
right.
birth order for us is really riveting for me to know.
Yeah,
like, okay,
it is.
Because I don't know if your family is like this, but I do find that when our whole family is back together, all the siblings are back together, we have never moved past a certain point of our maturity.
Oh, exactly,
we're immediately
exactly.
in those dynamics. And it's interesting because if the sets of us are together, so my younger sister and I are together, it's a much different dynamic than when Ben is also there.
Uh-huh.
But it's not a bad thing. It's just we all kind of fall into that as a pack. Here's what we are. But individually, we have our own thing when we're not all
yeah.
together.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly how it is for us, too. I wonder if it's the same for everyone.
Let us know.
So. But, you know, yeah, exactly. Weigh in. I definitely think it's good to study this kind of thing. I recently figured out about myself that people like me really prefer to avoid conflict, but it was in a very specific way. And it was freeing to me because in situations where I'm like, well, I got to figure out how to like confront someone about mm-hmm. something. It's freeing to me to understand that I'm not immediately going to be I don't have to pretend to say like, and then I said this, because I'm always doing that. I'm always like, mm-hmm. and I said, blah, blah. And my mom's like, did you really? And I'm like, no, of course I didn't. I said nothing. I smiled.
Right. Right.
But I mean, it's freeing for me to realize that this is like how I am and I can find a way to have a healthy conversation without feeling like I have to be the person that's like coming down on someone for something.
Yeah.
And that's come into play in some healthy ways lately, just realizing that about myself. So know thyself is like our theme, right? That's our word.
Yeah, that's our word.
Podcast word of the late 2K18,
yet again, 2019. Hannah suggested a New Year's word that is two words, but we
yeah.
will... Put it together. It's our word.
The necklace that we'll be ordering.
God, yes. Thanks
will be
to
expensive
our sponsor,
with
Instagram.
Multiple characters. Yeah, I wish.
Well, one of the things that it's helped me do, not just about knowing myself, but I feel like I would love for my kids to be able to take the Enneagram and Myers-Briggs, but they're too young,
yeah.
obviously. But I do think that knowing birth order does help me kind of tune in my parenting a little bit, especially
yes.
with three so close in age. It's easy to lump them all together. Like, I have found that even though Anna Blair and Jane Ellis are closer in age, life stage wise, as toddlers and preschoolers, I kind of treat she and Norbeth the exact same. That isn't how I treated Norbeth when she was two. She was the only one, or
right.
Anna Blair was a newborn. But a couple of different things that it says is to parent your firstborn, to avoid pressuring them to be perfect and just show them unconditional love, which obviously I think as parents we can. But the reason that it points that out is firstborns already tend to be a little bit more perfectionistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then for middles or seconds, so I guess this would be the same, but especially for middles, is make sure to encourage her own interests so she or he will develop a unique sense of self rather than just lumping them together with your oldest, which I'm like, I mean, basically our pile of presents from Santa, though we had delineated which piles or Santa had delineated whose was whose, they just became this like, sorry, spoiler alert. It did just become this like free for all of it's one communal pile. But it was kind of orchestrated by Nora Beth. So we had gotten some things that we thought that Anna Blair would like that weren't just by proxy of Nora Beth's interest, but suddenly they became claimed by Nora Beth as well. But because Anna Blair didn't seem that upset about it, we were kind of like, okay. So we had this one toy that's super awesome. It's this sink that has running water, but it's like a freestanding like little play sink, but you can run water.
Yeah, that's a cool toy. I saw it on your stories.
Yeah, it's $15 at Walmart. So it's a great buy. But it's for Anna Blair. Well, Norbeth loves it. It is Anna Blair's toy. And we have to keep reminding her, this is Anna Blair's. And she's like, I know, but it's my turn now. And it's like, ugh, yep, okay.
Yeah, that's
so
tough.
So I do kind of run into that because if Anna Blair doesn't seem upset, that's fine. But I do want her as the middle not to always feel like she's just having to give it to her.
Right. She's just never really feeling possession of something or
like. Yeah, but I want her to. But I also don't want to then like make it harder on myself by stirring up conflict.
Right. It's like not another fight. But like you also can't let the oldest ones think they're entitled to everything. That's tough.
Yeah, for sure. Well, some things that can throw it off is like the actual birth order study from Dr. Lehman. Some things to keep in mind are, you know, a child or grown-up's own temperament can also change that. So as much as birth order affects it, there are some things that temperamentally, obviously. So basically it's like all of this is true unless it isn't. That's kind of how I feel about this temperament asterisk, but
sure,
you know, whatever. Gender does make quite a difference in how a family dynamic is. So whether it's brothers first and then a sister or vice versa, or like in our family, like my mom is one of three girls. I obviously have three girls. So it'll be interesting to see how those dynamics mirror each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as part of that, trauma or tragedy will obviously make a big difference in that. And my mom and her sisters dealt with a significant amount of trauma and tragedy in their very formative years. That has definitely set the course for them as adults. Huh. So those things can also kind of throw that off because of how someone may step into a birth order position that isn't theirs in order to cope with a tragedy. It can throw things off. Like we have some really close family friends in Louisiana, and it was interesting. The middle child of the three girls passed away. So then all of a sudden, the youngest was now, you know, the second, you know, and so it changed how kind of they were used to interacting for that reason.
Yeah, that is interesting. That's a good point. Also, did you read anything about like only children or were there any notes?
Yes, there are quite a few. And I'm sorry, only children. I did not mean to leave you out. So there's a lot of talk about how, you know, I think at least when we were growing up there, it seemed like only children were just like going to be spoiled and, you know, self-centered and all of these different things. But being an only child now is actually seen as you kind of get the best of all worlds rather than the worst of all worlds. Only children tend to be more mature for their age. They seem to have a good sense of self and self-identity and a healthy amount of competition. So they're not like jockeying for position. They're not jockeying for attention because they have it. But, you know, the caveat of that is sometimes it can be hard for them to enter a social group of their peers and know how to place themselves in that group.
Yeah, I would say the example of that from our commune is our one family who has an only child. She is like 6 months, more than 6 months younger than Milan. Mm-hmm. She's a little younger than Norbeth. But she seems their age.
Yes, absolutely.
And like months make a difference at this age, you know, like
for
months,
sure.
Like the oldest child is going to be 5 here in the spring and she's keeps up with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's interesting to see play out at this age already.
Yeah, absolutely. And then to your point earlier, parents do, you know, unconsciously feed into perpetrating a birth order because they tend to parent to the birth order that they are.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I'm highly sensitive
that.
To Anna Blair, as I mentioned.
Right.
And
I'm like more attuned to, I would definitely say I'm more attuned to Milan's needs. I mean, of course, like we said, Maya and Anna Blair are still like formative, but they're obviously already second children. Whereas like I like get Milan so much and I just like with Maya, I just have a lot of question marks.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think because I really kind of straddle the line in my personality between a true middle and an oldest. I feel like I really understand the way Norbeth is wired, but I'm constantly checking myself to make sure that Anna Blair's the middle does not feel left out, or is she's getting her own special time. So it's like I'm very, very sensitive to that spot in the mix at this point. But at two, almost two, it is hard to say like, oh, I get her or not. Oh,
okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
That, I mean, I hope that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, just looking at like all that, it's true until it's not true. My, like I was saying, like I think it how your parents are, like if your parents are more type A, if you have a more type A parent or both your parents, because I think my uncle is the oldest as well. If I'm not mistaken, I think his sister is younger than him. So my mom and dad are both the youngest, but my mom's sister, I know, fact check that. My mom's sister and her husband are both the oldest. So I think that affects too, you know, it just like plays out differently. Like there are differences in my brother, my middle brother and I, and in like my cousin and her sister. There's only two of them. So.
Well, and I think furthermore, and this is going a little bit off of the topic of birth order, but I do think it's related how your parents were parented reflects a lot in how you were parented and as a sibling group. So because my mom and her sisters lost their parents really early, they really sought the value in their sibling relationships. And so my mom has always placed a really high value in raising us in the family unit.
Okay.
Where my dad's parents, my dad's dad was much more like kind of for himself and he kind of called the shots. And I don't know that there was a ton of value placed on the family unit as much as there was just like autonomy as a person. And so now we've seen as adults that he doesn't really care that much about the unit. But
you're talking about your dad or your grandfather?
My dad. Okay. But so the way my dad reacts to us as adults is more a one-to-one relationship than as a family as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting to look at as well. My dad is very, very much concerned with our interpersonal relationships and like our family unit as a whole and stuff like that. So that like that's how I am as well, which is funny because he's not the oldest. He's the youngest, but there's a gap.
Yeah.
Like okay, his two brothers. So that it's all clicking. Because his older brothers, what are they like? Minimum, I think it's like a minimum of 5 years older.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm, not, and I could be wrong. But anyway, so yeah, that's so interesting. Well, learning
well, that's
a lot.
that's how I feel like learning that about David has been really interesting because he was raised by two much older sisters. So they were, you know, almost teenagers when he was born and a mom. So it's almost like he had three mothers.
Right. Yeah.
So he was the baby and kind of an only child. And so I think it made it a little bit harder for him. He was also an older dad. He was 40 when Norbeth was born. And I think, you know, he spent a lot of his life being looked after. And so I think that he would say that the transition to then having a baby after 40 years of kind of being looked after by someone else was a little bit harder for him to suddenly like switch gears into that role. Not that he's selfish by any means, because he is not. He was a natural, loving, warm dad. But
yeah, he's very naturally paternal.
Yes, very much so. But I do think that it was interesting for him to shift gears in that way from someone else like calling the shots for him. Then now suddenly like he's in a different role.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Well, that's a lot. And again, you can impact so much.
That's what we got laid out for you guys in a very non-expert way. That's the only way to say it.
Yeah, exactly.
We continue to present some anecdotal evidence. And hopefully, if you're interested, the links that we provide, you'll be able to actually find the facts, not just the facts that we're presenting, because really, do not ever quote us when you are trying to present an argument, because we're not We are not your source. I would love to see if somebody sourced us in a paper, though.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. I would love that. I will put everything you said in the show notes.
Perfect. So everything.
Check it out there. Everything.
Transcript. Transcribe our entire dialogue in the show notes.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. So we'll take a quick break, a little breather for us after all that, and talk about our somewhat already alluded to what sounded like a good idea at the time. Well, it is, as we said, New Year's, and I talked about this a little bit at the beginning, but it sounded like a good idea at the time to just try and push my kids on through till midnight, which it's not a, it's not a good idea and it's not a bad idea. It's very cultural for Pasan growing up. Like, he always went to parties and stuff with his family where, like, all the kids are playing together, and our neighbor Maryhill said this as well. She's Venezuelan. That she was very much used to just falling asleep on a chair somewhere, like, you know, at a family event. And the kids would play, the adults would talk and stuff like that, and sleep where you drop kind of thing, I assume. That's not remotely how I was raised, but I thrive off of social connections, so I very much loved leaning into that since we've been married. But we are also the only ones in our family as of now with children, so it's been, there haven't been other kids that they could run around with, which is why I love our setup here.
Right.
So last night, they did well. Maya just fell asleep on her neighbor's couch, which was adorable, as always. And Milan and two of the other little kids made it till midnight.
That's so impressive.
Yeah, and they were, I think they were behaved pretty well the whole night. Maya woke up right on schedule at 6:45 this morning.
Can't be tamed.
And I was just like, no, like, moving. I can't talk right now. And Milan came down at like 7:30 and I was like, no, sir, like, you got to go back to sleep. And it's almost like I gave him permission.
Yeah, he needed you to say that.
Yeah, as usual. And he just like crashed right beside me and we both just until like 10 or so. So he got a little bit more sleep, but there was a lot like just, you know, where you would say a suggestion and then like one of them just loses it. And it's like, oh. Okay, that's what's happening. That's where we're at. Like, what was it Maya was doing outside today when we were all outside? She was just losing her mind about something, and she was so tired.
I'm sure it was just really valid. Well, at like 5 o'clock, she was falling asleep on you tonight.
Yep,
man.
They were just flat tired. So it sounded like an idea, and it was an idea, and it happened.
It sounded like a neutral idea.
Yeah.
Well, mine also came from inspired by last night. So Nora Beth, we don't watch YouTube videos at our house, but somehow my mom has found these YouTube videos at her house, like on her computer that I think it started when Nora Beth was younger. They like pulled up a song on her computer on YouTube, and now it's like become, you know, those toy YouTube videos where it's like an adult person playing with toys, but like narrating their imagination.
Okay, no.
That was probably a very botched description. I will find one and we will put it in the show notes.
Okay.
But there's this like lady who narrates all of these YouTube videos of herself playing with LOL dolls, which if you don't have a kid right now, you may hopefully don't know about this LOL doll craze.
I barely know about this.
It's their D-U-M-B, in my opinion, and C-R-A-P. In my opinion, but like you get this ball and you don't know what kind of doll is in it. And then you open it and it's like these little teeny tiny dolls, like bigger than a Polly Pocket, smaller than a Barbie.
Okay.
So from watching these videos, Nora Beth has really gotten fixated on an LOL doll. And sure. I told her 4-year-olds don't get those dolls, like 5 and 6-year-olds do, just to try to like put it.
I was just saying, what are you going to say?
Yeah, next year. Sorry, now they don't make them. Well, I'm like banking on something else being cool next year.
Yeah, fair. I'm sure that's fair.
Well, she's been asking for one like every single day. But as I talked about earlier in the episode, her behavior has been less than stellar this week.
Right.
And I was just kind of like out of ideas. I'm not anti-spanking, but I also don't want to spank for any reason. Because like, where do you go from there? Like, it's hard to escalate. That from
it is.
There.
And especially if you know it's for something like outside of a normal schedule, tired.
Yeah. And I was trying to figure it out.
They really don't have much control.
No. And she like hit me at one point, not hard, but I was like, well, if I spank her, that's
it's a mixed message. Terrible. I thought that through as well.
Yeah. At the park today, this is a side note. A boy was hitting his dad and the dad was like, if you don't stop, I'm going to spank you. And I wanted to be like, sir, that's not teaching your child. That's a 1-for-1.
If you don't stop hitting me, I'm going to hit you. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
okay.
I mean, like, all they're going to learn is, like, retribution.
Yeah. So anyway, I was kind of, like, just at my wit's end a little bit just because it was so outside of her norm and her usual very sunny disposition. Like, even on her hard days, she's not defiant. So she'd been going to her room and all of these things. And I realized, oh, I can use this LOL doll as a reward. So I told her we would set up the sticker chart. And when she obeyed and listened the first time, she would get a sticker. And if she accumulated enough stickers, we would get an LOL doll. She was thrilled with that arrangement. I was thrilled that we were doing positive reinforcement versus the consequences. But we got to the party last night and our friend Lauren happens to be in possession of several LOL dolls. And
which I know that she received her daughter received for Christmas, and she had said not to like get it, but it was received as a gift anyway.
Yeah, well, no wonder she was so willing to let Norbeth have the one that she asked her to if she could keep. Norbeth fixated on one that she's now named Clora, C-L-O-R-A. And immediately asked Miss Lauren if she could keep it. And I was like, no, it needs to stay here. And Lauren was like, sure, you can keep it.
So she's like, take it out of my house.
No, and I was like, well, remember, we have to bring it back tomorrow. And Lauren's like, you don't have to. And I was like, yes, we do. So we're like,
look at my eyes, Lauren, look at my eyes.
We marched back across the street at 6:30 p.m. on New Year's Eve. And it was earlier than that, 6 p.m. New Year's Eve. And Norbeth is like, look, I got my LOL doll. And I was like, but remember, that's not yours. I was like, yeah, that was not yours. You're going to have to earn one. And so all day she's called it her LOL doll. And I've been having to remind her it is not hers. She will get her own after enough good behavior. Thankfully, today was a sparkling behavior day. So maybe we're closer to getting this LOL doll. But
yeah,
sounded like a good idea to offer up a prime reward. But I need to make sure that no one else has it.
Right. Chat to any house you're going, like,
hide your LOL dolls.
If you have this product, hide it or make it seem unattainable.
Yeah, exactly. She may not have it. So Lauren's going to find Clora back in her mailbox tomorrow.
Better luck next time, Lauren.
Yeah, maybe that will be our first giveaway to people who rate and review us. I'm throwing down the gauntlet. If you rate and review us, email us at agoodideapod@gmail.com after you leave your review, and I will send you an LOL doll.
That feels like a reason for people to not rate and review us.
We'll find out.
I would not. Okay, sure. Let's see.
We'll see who wins this one.
Yeah, exactly. Are they expensive? Are they not?
I mean, for what they are, they're expensive. I mean, they're not that expensive. I don't want to tell our listeners who are motivated by that prize.
Filling out a review as we speak.
The dollar value is about $8.
Okay.
But you can escalate. I mean, there are also apparently prize packs or like multi-packs that are much more expensive. But
of course,
the baseline that Norbeth is going for is about $8.
That's cool. Keep it low.
Yep. But we'll send you a priceless one if you rate and review us and take advantage of that.
Which means whichever one we find from Lauren's house.
Thank you, Lauren, for sponsoring this episode.
Exactly. Oh, man. All right. Well, that's awesome. First episode of the new year officially. This is technically our second episode as it comes out.
True. But so, I feel like this is the first one that we did a deep dive into some things that we don't know much about.
Yeah. Last week was a little shorter. We were just
a mini episode.
Wrapping it up. So, yeah, we are excited to see what comes this year.
Yeah.
For all of us, for everyone.
Yeah. And over the holiday, we broke 1,000 downloads, which we know that there are other podcasts who may look at that and feel like that's not a huge number. But for us, that was huge. That was a huge milestone. So we do want to also pause and thank you for your support. Those of you who text us and leave us feedback or comment on Instagram. We are just really blown away by the number of people who have supported and encouraged us. So thank you for making 2018 end on a really fun and exciting note for us.
Yeah, that's super encouraging. We love to hear from you, and we love when you tell your friends. That's just awesome because everyone has a lot of stuff going on in their lives and anyone you could be listening to. So thank you very much.
Cool. Well, we will see you back here next week.